What's up, bitches? Brandon Lynette here, your host of the Listen podcast. And I just fucked up my phone. So there we go. I think we're good. I think we're good now. It is Microdose Monday, but I'm going to go ahead and drop a bombshell on you guys. I am still kind of reeling in my emotions. And honestly, like I'm kind of in the letdown period. You know, something happens and it gets you all riled up. And then, you know, you feel like just at an ultimate high, and then there's always a low following the high. And I'm kind of in that dip right now, just kind of processing things. But if you guys tuned in last week, you know that I got a phone call from my mom, and I was just kind of trying to figure out like how I could address the situation. Okay. Because we haven't really talked in, it's been a decade, probably a decade. We haven't talked. We tried once or twice in between, and it was just totally toxic. It was not okay. And I knew I just had to let her go. And so anyway, I've done all that, and I've been going through so much healing and transition and just trying, you know, to figure out my own shit. And I really was nervous about how to approach the conversation. And I've prayed about it all week, pretty much. And then today, just I finally did it. I finally did it. I wanted to be able to do it in a way where I wasn't going to give in to my emotions. I wanted to be able to do it in a way where I could still hold my boundaries and my grace, but be able to say what I needed to say. And this is a decade worth of things that I was feeling, right? Things I wanted to just kind of understand. And approaching someone who hasn't done the healing work is scary. Okay. And that's the situation that I kind of put myself in, where I had to realize like, I have done the work. Okay. She hasn't. She's like, she is where she is. And if you have someone in your life that you're trying to work a relationship with, or even trying to just figure out the ground, you cannot expect people to be at your level of healing. So it's kind of one of those, like, you have to love and accept them for where they are. Okay. And that meant no matter what happened, I knew I would be okay with the outcome on the conversation, right? I knew I had the strength and the power in me to be able to say and ask the things I wanted to, because I've healed. And I know if she hung up and walked away, that I would be at peace with that, right? This is a woman that I wrote about in my book, Once Upon a Time Bitches. If you guys do not have that, run, don't walk. It is, you can find it at onceuponatimebitches.com. It's on Amazon. It's on Audible. It's very accessible to you. So you can get this book and you can see, I literally forgave her before I ever expected an apology. Okay. And I still, to this day, I don't expect it and I don't need it. We having someone say they're sorry, it doesn't make your feelings more or less. It doesn't change that the things happened, right? So I want to empower people to just really forgive people that aren't sorry. You forgive them for you. Right? Because the time that I chose to forgive her and the time that I moved into the gratitude, because I've talked about it a lot, I'm very thankful for all the choices she made. I am. I wouldn't be who I was had she not. You know, I wouldn't be a good mom. I wouldn't be a good wife. I wouldn't be a good leader. I wouldn't be a good entrepreneur. I wouldn't be a good coach. I wouldn't be who I was. So I'm very grateful in the space where we've moved. I forgave her a long time ago. And so today wasn't even about, like, I didn't expect her to say sorry. I had to call out the fact that it's a very toxic situation to not talk for 10 years and then talk and pretend like nothing has changed, right? Like there's 10 years that you didn't talk to me and we just pretend like nothing. And I'm not okay with that. Okay. And we worked through it. It was a long conversation. She was very open, very receptive. And we made a lot of progress. Like it, I could feel the weight of the generational curse just breaking off. Like it was emotional. And there were times where I could feel that emotion coming up to me. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, because it is Microdose Monday, I'm going to drop this. If I have not been microdosing, and if I had not been meditating, if I had not been praying, I would not have been able to handle this. 100%. I mean, I'm an emotional ass person, you guys. Like, I cry for commercials. I cry for everything. I'm a very emotional person. Okay. So bringing something like this into my
awareness and being able to be present without succumbing to those emotions, that was a big fucking deal for me. I held my ground. I stayed where I needed to stay, and I was kind and I was gracious, and I was able to effectively communicate because all of the thoughts in my head were working coherently. Okay. It was a beautiful conversation. I thank God that I've been microdosing consistently. My 4 days on, 3 days off consistently definitely gave me some of that power. And listen, I've done the healing work. Okay. I've done, the therapy, I've done the coaching, the getting coached. I've been the client. I've done the things. And it is a constant awareness in my mind that every day I want to grow to be a little better. Always something. Always something. So I've done that work on top of this. I encourage you. Microdosing is a beautiful gift. Utilize everything you can. You should still be communicating your feelings to someone who could help you navigate them. But therapy doesn't do everything. It just doesn't. There's some things that therapy can't touch. And I think me being able to witness a family's generational curse. And I mean, you guys, I'm talking like toxic just to the core, the entire family. I'm talking uncles, aunts, all of it. Grandparents, great grandparents. It was poison. And I literally felt it drop. If you would have asked me, I could have stepped on the scale and I'd have been 100 pounds lighter today, by far. So it was definitely like an emotional unpacking and just something that I finally have been able to just release. I can release it now. It's a huge thing. And it's something that isn't just for me, but it's something that my kids are going to benefit from too. Just that healing of a generational trauma. You break the ties, you guys, and that matters. It sticks around. It doesn't go anywhere. There's no way to reverse it now. Like, it's healing. It's healing. And something that I've learned a lot when I, with my coaches and in these sessions, when I'm doing the energy work, is that when you are currently healing who you are, you're currently working on breaking generational curses. It goes backwards to heal the people behind you. So that means all the healing work I've done, it benefits my mom. It benefits my grandma. It benefits my great grandma. Like, it benefits the lineage it's like 7 or 8 years, I think, that it genuinely front and back heals them. That's a gift. Someone has to do it. And maybe you're the person that has to go first. And I want to encourage you. I get it. Take as much time as you need to prepare yourself for the hard conversations, but have them. Have the conversations. Life is too short to do the fake bullshit of like, how's the weather? Let's pretend like nothing's going on. Get to the real raw deal of like, what is toxic in your life? If you have to heal something, don't run away from it. Don't avoid it. Just let it heal. This is a huge shift in my life. I'm telling you, like, it started when my dad got sick, right? This is it's just started. It's stuff that I've worked on for years, things that I wasn't happy with. I wasn't okay having a sister that I didn't talk to. I respected the boundaries. I respected my place. I understood. I did this. Okay. I was the toxic person in that relationship. I took responsibility for that, but I've never been okay with it. I never wanted to be like my mom's family where they just stopped talking to each other for years. And then it's just weird. Right. But here I was, not talking to my sister, not talking to my mom. That's just what we do. That's what we do. And I knew there could be a level of healing for us to bring all of this to the front and center. I just never knew how it was going to happen. Right. And how can this happen? And I still could protect my boundaries. Well, I've learned with the healing, my boundaries are solid. I'm not worried about that anymore. No one's going to be able to treat me any way that's going to love me less than I love myself. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's a matter of like, I'm choosing my vibration and people can meet me there or they don't meet me, but that's okay. It doesn't mean we have to turn it into a toxic relationship. It just means I love them back for where they are. I have no expectations for anybody to be on the same healing path as me. Never. I don't expect my whole family to just decide, oh my God, Brandon got her shit together, so let's all just get our shit together. Everybody has to do it on their own time. And I'm fully aware and present, and I'm respectful of that boundary. But I know the ball was rolling for me to do some serious healing. And it happened with, you know, getting stuck in a room with my sister where we were forced upon each other. And I knew that was the start of the healing. And so just doing this with my mom, it's like, I can't explain it to you guys. I was on a complete high, just like I actually did it. And I felt really good and it came out really good. And the conversation was great. Meaning I'm going to call her again and I'm going to talk to her and I'm going to see how she's doing. And I feel good about that. I don't feel the dread of like, oh my gosh, my mom, like I'm not feeling the weight of that. On the other hand, I do not have expectations. Okay. I want to make that clear. I don't think that, you know, all of a sudden today we have a perfect relationship and everything's going to be great. I don't think it's going to be that easy. Absolutely not. Every relationship in your life takes work. All of them. And she has her own healing to do. And as long as there is an awareness that I see that she wants to heal, I definitely want her in my life. Anybody that is willing to do the work, let's do this. Okay? Because life is fucking hard. Life is hard. But you have to show up for yourself if you want other people to show up for you. That's all there is to it. You have to show up for yourself. I can't do the work for her. I can't, you know, I can't heal anyone. I can only just choose what I choose for my day, for my healing. And that's it. But I just wanted to bring you guys up today. There's so much more to it, but I mean, I'm still just kind of just taking it all in. Okay. I was super zoomied out. Like I couldn't sit down and do my work. I was just like, after it happened, I'm just like, oh my God, that really happened. You know, I kind of went through a bunch of stages of, I went through the, you know, shock, a little bit of even kind of just a little bit of grief. A little bit of compassion pouring out to her. Cause I'm sure that, you know, I can't imagine what she's sitting with tonight. I brought everything to her and held her accountable in the space where she needed to take responsibility. And that's not always easy. That is not easy. I know when my own kids come to me with shit I've done and I have to face that and take responsibility, it is so hard. So, you know, then I had that moment of like, man, I hope she's sitting with this okay. I hope it's okay. I can't process it for her, but I could still send love and compassion and just, you know, that energy. And then I just kind of like, honestly, right now, I just feel totally drained and just exhausted. I still feel very light. I feel like, oh my God, what is left on my plate, right? I'm healing all of these things from my past. What else is there? And I'm ready for it. I want to continue on a healing journey. I want to continue growing as a person. I have no limits right now. And that's how I feel. I feel limitless. I can face anything head on 100%. So thank you guys for being a part of that journey, letting me get my little, joining the Brandon show, letting me just kind of get my issues out there and it feels good to just kind of talk about it. But that's a big update. My God, that is a big update. If you have been following me since, you know, I published the book, you guys know this was huge. This was huge for me. And you know, I have two sisters that don't talk to my mom either. And that's going to be all their journey to deal with. Like that's their thing. But I told my mom they're really not okay, you know, and she genuinely asked me right before we hung up. She's like, well, how are you doing? You know? And I got to tell her like, mom, I'm good. I'm really good. I've forgiven all the things. Like I'm thankful. I'm at the point of gratitude. Gratitude 100%. I am so glad that she signed her rights off on me, truly. And I don't say that in a way to make me feel better because I felt rejected, because that sucks. I'm always going to deal with that feeling of rejection. And I see it in the patterns in my relationships now where I feel that awareness where I start to push people away as a self-preservation technique because I feel rejected. Okay. And that's not always the truth. It's just my brain has wrapped around that. So that is why Microdose Monday, let's jump into that right now, because I am telling you guys, I have quite a few updates. So I have a client that is on week 2 right now. So last week was the first week. Okay. And she suffered from severe social anxiety, like could not go anywhere. Okay. And it's always unexpected when it takes you, and it's debilitating, and it's freaking crazy. And so this is the thing. She's like, you know, something is really wrong with me. Like I just can't do this stuff. And so I'm like, yeah, you have to try this. Okay. And anxious people, I know you're with me. We're all kind of hesitant on taking stuff. Okay. I hate feeling high. I can't do it. I can't do the weed. I can't do stuff like that. So when I first thought about microdosing mushrooms, I was terrified because I thought, what if I trip out? Like, what if it's too much? But really, I will never recommend you starting on any more than 0.5 milligrams. Okay. Never, ever, ever. I will never start someone out higher than that. Okay. In fact, most of my clients actually take a capsule that's 0.5 and they break it in half. And that's been great for them. So just her trying this alone was a big deal. Huge, huge deal. But day two, she's standing in the grocery store and she's messaging me and she's like, I'm here. I'm doing this and I'm not freaking out and I don't understand why. Like, I have done the same exact thing in the grocery store where I feel like, man, I should be having a panic attack. This is usually about the place where I feel like I'm going to die and I wonder who's going to call my family and what's going to happen. Like, I play it all out, right? So I have done the same thing and she's like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm not freaking out and I should be, right? Because we get so used to like having anxiety run our lives. We get so used to it that when we have something that helps us, we're just confused of like, what's happening? I'm like, enjoy it. You know, she went out with friends to dinner, hasn't done that in 2 years to be able to go in a public place with her friends. And she had a great time. She was social. She was talking. She wasn't worried. You know, she was out of her head. It was beautiful. And her only complaint was, why didn't I start this sooner? Why didn't I start microdosing sooner? And I'm like, girl, it's here. So wherever you are right now, if you are someone who is struggling with like the depression, the anxiety, if you know that you are too much in your head, I encourage you to find your mushrooms. Okay. Find a weed guy, find some mushrooms and get started. Literally, if you need some extra help finding something, please message me. Just say, I'm ready. I need something. Okay. One of my friends, one of my regulars that come in, he's talking about how it's been weird to him because something has changed, but nothing has changed. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have the new house. He doesn't have a new car. Like, nothing has happened, but he has had a shift and things have changed. And you just see the world in a whole different perspective. You can see it in a brighter perspective. It gets you out of your own way. Okay. And maybe you're just like, okay, I'm not ready for the microdosing. I'm not into that. I get it. I respect that. There are other ways to process through this. And I'll give you some ways right now, even if you're struggling with social anxiety, we're going to talk about that a little bit. I do have a product because psilocybin isn't legal everywhere. Here in Ann Arbor, we're good to go. Here, Detroit, in Michigan, Detroit has quite a few places that are open. And I mean, people are working on it everywhere. Okay. So it's getting there. It's getting there where it's going to be something that's accessible to everybody in a legal manner. Okay. But for now, I do have a product that is legal. I've tested it myself several times and it gives me the same benefit. Like, it just changes the way my brain is working, where I can see emotions, I don't become them, right? So I can have a tough conversation with a woman I haven't talked to in 10 years without losing my mind, right? I can process these things better. So it keeps me from overthinking. It helps me just stick to do the next right thing. Okay. So when life is crazy and chaotic and hectic, like today was very squirrely for me. It was very squirrely. I was on the phone with all of my family. I had to call my dad. I had to call my sisters all more than once. Okay. Plus calling my mom. Like it was just not a normal day for me. And that emotionally can take a toll on someone like me who is like got a full plate. Okay. Because the time is ticking. I only get a certain amount of time to do the things that I want to do to set myself up for success for the week. And so I could feel that like squirreliness, but I came back to being grounded and easily fell into, okay, what's the next right thing to do? Well, bitch, you've told these bitches you're going to show up Monday through Friday to do a podcast. So that's the next right thing. Record the podcast. Okay. That's what I'm doing. And it is definitely because of the power I get from microdosing, just being able to stay in the present moment, to stay in my awareness. I'm not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen Wednesday. Or I don't know if you guys heard that. I think my son just broke a dish, but I just heard a big crash and he's washing dishes. So I'll peep that in a minute, right? It'll be there. It'll be there. But let's just jump into talking about ways to tackle social anxiety, okay? Because social anxiety is a difficult beast to tame. It catches you by surprise, and then all of a sudden you have this unnecessary worry and stress. And there's no need to let it win, okay? You can create your path and find ways to tackle it so you could take control of your life. That's it. So I hope some of these tips can help you process this, okay? You want to tackle social anxiety, you've got to talk to people. If you tell people how you're feeling, chances are they're going to be more than willing to help you. And there's got to be comfort in knowing that people are supporting you. So be able to tell people, like, you know, don't just shut yourself up in the house and not talk to anyone. I want you to tell your friends and family, look, I do struggle with social anxiety, okay? Talk about what bothers you and express your feelings. Yes, you got to talk about the feelings, okay? They might have some coping mechanisms that they can share with you. Or maybe they've been through something similar and they just haven't talked about it, okay? Everybody struggles with something. And I think anxiety is running rampant in our world right now. So I think a lot of people can identify with this. So you guys can support each other, right? Work out your triggers, identify how to create coping strategies, all the things where you can learn to support each other. Make a list of your concerns. I mean, literally something I do with my coaching clients is I tell them, write down your 10 biggest fears and go hide the list. And in 6 months, I want you to pull it out. And I want you to tell me how much of that was really worth worrying about. Because most of the time, the shit we're worrying about never comes to fruition. Okay. It just doesn't. And if it does, it's likely something we couldn't control. So what did the worry do? It keeps us from being more productive to finding solutions, right? So make a list of concerns. That's it. Journaling, writing your thoughts down helps you understand what you're truly thinking to connect it with what you're feeling. Okay. So journal this and write down what is triggering your anxiety. What triggers it? What start? Like, have the conversations with yourself to figure out, where did this come from? Okay. What experience did I have? What did I see? How did this thought get planted in my head that this is an experience I'm going to hold on to? And you're probably not going to have all the answers, but don't worry too much about that. Okay. All you need to do is identify where there might be a pattern or a trend in your anxiety. Okay. That's what we're looking for. The patterns, the trends. And then also just making sure you're aligning your thoughts with your feelings. Because sometimes I would mistake my anxiety for like excitement, you know, excitement as in like the unknown. When we're kids, we get excited and we're like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Like, we don't know what's coming and we don't know what to think of this experience. But then as we get to be adults, we've been there. So then we get a little less excited about things. But like, I've been becoming a new person for a solid 5 years. Okay. I'm becoming a new person. So things are different to me. And I started to realize, like, I'm really placing the word anxiety on things where I'm genuinely excited. You know, I'm excited about meeting new people. And I was anxious when I was a kid, just like that. I felt that it was that anxious feeling. They're literally the same physical response. So I want you to align yourself mentally, just your thought process with your feelings. Like, are you just genuinely excited because this is new to you now? Like, you have your first kid and everything is different in the world for you, right? It's just different. You see things different. So you might have a new level of, oh my God, this is new. I never noticed that. Like, you're in a new level of awareness. I guess that's it. We become someone new in a different level of awareness as we grow. And then we just start to label it. And then we turn it into something bad because it's not comfortable and safe. We've been comfortable and safe. Then all of a sudden we do new things and we freak the fuck out, right? That's excitement at like a kid, right? But identify the pattern, okay? Consider if any situations automatically make you feel uneasy and uncomfortable.
and then start working from there. Okay. Writing down potential triggers, you can clarify your thoughts. You can start to consider potential solutions. Okay. But being calm and being rational, you'll be able to start feeling like you're in more control. One of the things I really do, I can't fight it. Like the more I try to fight the anxiety coming where I'm like, no, 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 the worse it gets. Okay. So microdosing, I mean, I haven't felt this experience as much. I feel a wave. I might feel like a little glimmer and I'm like, oh, that's not my thing anymore. So it just kind of dissolves, right? Being able to see your anxiety as something that you can visualize and just be like, all right, homie, play your thing. You want to make my heart skip a beat, get my face all flush. You want, you know, am I breathing? You know, I literally wear a Fitbit to make sure my heart's beating and I'm still breathing. That's where my level of anxiety was. Like, am I alive right now? That's how far off my rocker I was. Okay. So, fighting it was hard for me. I had to just say, okay, fuck it. I guess if I'm going to die on the floor at the Aldi grocery store, I'm going to die. Like, just take me then. The last experience I had, I was driving. So that was crazy. Cause I'm like, okay, well, just don't let me kill anybody else. But if this is my time, like, let's go. What's happening right now? Okay. But not fighting it. And then as soon as I just let it, as soon as I'm just like, okay, do your thing, it just dissolves. That's what happens. Okay. Safety in numbers. I know something that's important for me. When I go to big events, I do truly get overwhelmed. Okay. And I haven't been to an event since I started microdosing. So I'm very excited to see my level of growth when I do start going to events again. But before, what I would do is connect with someone that's there and just explain, like, look, I really have social anxiety right now. Like, I'm really freaking out. So find safety in numbers. Okay. Social event, go with a friend, bring someone with you. If you're going to a party or a gathering, consider asking the host, maybe if you could bring a friend, or, you know, make sure you can find someone. I guarantee you will see the puppy dog eyes in someone where you're going to be like, okay, this is a kindred spirit. We're stressing out a little bit. And just communicate to them. Okay. This is going to make you feel more at ease if you have someone that you can connect with. Okay. Anything that can help, you know, help you to just feel kind of connected and stay calm. Okay. Being honest, don't deny the social anxiety, but accept it and try to understand how to work with it. Okay. It may not be your thing, but you still got to get out there. Right. I get that. If you hide it, you're only going to get more worked up. It's like hiding it and denying it to yourself is the same way as like pushing it away and just like trying to stop it. Okay. You don't want to keep this to yourself. I wanted people to know, look, I am socially awkward. I have social anxiety because I didn't want people to think I was an asshole. I didn't want them to think, oh my God, she's too good to talk to us. No, bitch, I'm freaking the fuck out. And like, I don't know how I'm standing here right now. So there's no shame in asking for help or finding resources or solutions that work for you. Okay. Do not suffer in silence. Being honest is a way to help you make progress. So this is communicating to people. Okay. Have a backup plan. This helps your mental health. Make sure, you know, when I go somewhere, I make sure I have an exit strategy. Like I know exactly how the hell I can get out of here and I can get out of here fast. Okay. Probably not going to need to use it, but just to know, to tell yourself like, it's okay. You can leave if you have to leave. Right. Social anxiety is common. It is nothing to be ashamed of. Okay. Just take some time to remind yourself that you control your anxiety and it does not control you. Okay. I'm telling you, get the mushrooms. Get the mushrooms. You guys can reach out to me at brainlinette.com. You can send me an email. You can reach me on Facebook. I do have a group called Listen Bitch where we have journal prompts that are posted every day for you guys. Monday through Friday, just to kind of help you come into your conscious awareness. Okay. So that's it for today. I am still just reeling in all the things and it's been an incredible day for me. It was a big deal, you guys. Like a whole generational curse just like dropped it. I dropped that bitch. That is such a big deal. So I'm just going to go love the shit out of myself and try to get some emails out for the week. Make sure you are subscribed to the emails at brainlinette.com.
books. I think I said that. You can find them at onceuponatimebitches.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You've got four more coming to you this week. I know we're going to talk about some goals for self-improvement. We're going to talk about some self-care. We're going to talk about building your self-esteem after a setback. Like, how do you recover from something that was humiliating? Okay. And then we're going to talk about how to be more assertive. So that's kind of your menu for the week. And I don't want you to miss the show. So make sure you subscribe. Leave a review. Love it or hate it. I appreciate you. Have a great night, bitches. I hope your weekend was amazing. And I'll see you tomorrow.